Sang this song the other day. Go to the chorus to sing along with us. On a stroll over heaven. Praise the Lord.
I survey all the good things that come to me. From the storehouse of love, I simply ask for the favor of Him beyond mortal men. I'm sure He'll grant it again and again. So many places of beauty I long to see here below, but time and pleasures have kept us from making plans, as you know. But come the morning of rapture, together we shall.
Sing it with us now.
Church,
one day together. Isn't that going to be wonderful, just strolling over heaven together? Will I receive our tithes and offerings at this time? Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you in your giving this morning. He is here to help us this morning. I'd like to be reading in the book of Romans this morning, if you have your Bibles. In the book of Romans, we'd like to read in chapter number 8, book of Romans. Look at verse number 26. We'll begin reading there in Romans 8, verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, I want you to think about this, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now these two verses of Scripture has much meaning, and if the Lord be my helper, I'd like to preach from these verses. Both verses in 26 and 27 refers to intercession. I'd like to preach on intercession this morning. Verse number 26 was speaking about the Spirit itself making intercession for us. Amen. Also in verse number 27 referring to what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to know that we do have a great intercessor today, Jesus Christ. He sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Dear Lord, we know that our, amen, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We know that as we pray, Lord, we pray according to your will. We pray according to the will of this service here today, that your people may be encouraged by the Word of God. Lord, we need the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the move of the Spirit, amen, to work a work in our hearts that it can be real and move us within. We desire to be moved within and stirred within to receive what God's Word has laid for us. We desire a touch, Lord, a heavenly visitation of thy Spirit. And what is ever accomplished, we'll forevermore praise you. And everyone that loved the Lord said amen. And you may be seated here this morning. Amen. There's much that the Bible teaches, amen, that people may not understand referring to intercession. We have examples in Old Testament Scripture referring to ones who interceded. Amen. For God's people. Amen. Intercession, it can be defined as this, which refers to holy and believing and persevering prayer, whereby someone pleads with God on behalf of another or others who desperately needs God's intervention. In Daniel chapter number 9, verse number 3, the Scripture reads, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and in sackcloth and in ashes." It's referring to that Daniel, through that intercessory prayer, he prayed earnestly for Jerusalem. He prayed for their restoration and for the entire nation. So we know, amen, Daniel, amen, interceded on their behalf. Oh yes, that's wonderful to know. We know that Abraham was a good example, how that he interceded for Lot. Knowing that Lot had chosen his way towards Sodom, he went to pitch his tent towards Sodom, and therefore Abraham knew that as he went to the place, it seemed to be good for his cattle, to water his cattle, and it seemed like it was pleasing to him to pitch his tent in Sodom. But Abraham was a man of prayer and a man of faith. He staggered not at the promises of God. Amen. He was a man of faith. Therefore, he interceded for Lot, his nephew, as he prayed for him. We have different examples in Scripture how that men of God interceded on one's behalf or for others in Scripture. Amen. There's different examples that we know in Scripture, and I may cover some of those here this morning. But one way we can refer to Jerusalem, amen, as Daniel was interceding for Jerusalem for their restoration, we're also reminded how that Jesus referred to Jerusalem as children. Amen. He referred to them as he wept over Jerusalem, as he wept for those children. He said, I would gather you under my wings. In other words, just like a hen would do, her brood would gather you under my wings and shelter you and protect you and bless you. You see, Jesus wept over Jerusalem because he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and many rejected him. But he prayed. Amen. He prayed for us. Saints of God, St. John 17 refers to Jesus as he prayed, sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. Amen. He prayed for us. We know Christ is the intercessor. He's on the right hand of the Father. And without his grace and mercy and help given to us through this way of intercession, we would fall away from God and once again become enslaved to sin. Oh yes, I'm glad to know that Jesus Christ is an intercessor. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, that for joy he endured the cross. Amen. Despising the shame, sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. That is Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful that he is our intercessor today? Aren't you thankful for that? But amen, there is scripture I read to you what Paul was stating here. Amen. In verse number 26, he was saying, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. The Spirit, through the human spirit of the believer, intercedes according to the will of God. In verse number 27, that I shared with you. Amen. Praise God. This refers to the believer in intercessory prayer. When we think of intercessory prayer, we think that Elijah was that great example as he prayed. Amen. We know the scripture, the very familiar scripture that brings out that, amen, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, that Elijah was one that had prayed, and he prayed that the heaven would withhold the rain. It withheld the rain for 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave forth the rain. That scripture gives us an example about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Elijah was that good example of a man who had prayed and sought God. Amen. Church, even us as the church. Amen. One verse in James, it speaks about, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Oh yes. And anoint him with oil, that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If he's committed any sin, then it shall be forgiven him. So we know that we as the church can intercede for those who stand in need of prayer physically, and also for a spiritual need that may be in his life. So that's wonderful to know that we're standing in the gap in intercessory prayer through the way of intercession, amen, for others. And that's wonderful. The Bible declares through intercessory prayer, amen, it's powerful, remarkable things that can be done through these prayers. There was great kings and great prophets of old who interceded, even priests. Amen, praise God. Amen, not only did Abraham intercede for Lot, he also interceded for Ishmael. That Ishmael, amen, also, amen, for Lot. David prayed for his son, interceded for him, and also Job for his own children. And Moses, we find the supreme Old Testament example of the power of intercession. On several occasions, Moses had prayed intensely for God to change his declared intention. Even when God had told Moses his course of action, amen, after the Israelites rebelled against the Lord and refused to go to Canaan, God told Moses that he would destroy them and make Moses into a greater nation. But Moses then took the matter to the Lord in prayer and pleaded for them. We find it in Numbers chapter number 14. And the very conclusion of his prayer was, God said, I have pardoned according to thy word, that Moses stood in the gap for his people. Amen. And the Lord God changed his mind. He changed his mind. He was going to wax hot against the children of Israel because of their stiff-neckedness and their rebellion against God. He was therefore going to, amen, bring his wrath and his punishment upon his people. But Moses had interceded for them. That's a good example for others, for many, that he interceded on their behalf. Isn't that wonderful? Amen, saints of God, to know that one man prayer and leadership can make a difference. Amen. All praise be to God. Amen. The New Testament refers to examples of intercessory prayer. Amen. The Gospels record how that parents sacks, and others interceded with Jesus on behalf of their loved ones. Oh yes, parents pleaded with Jesus to heal their sick children. Amen. It was a group of mothers asked Jesus to bless their children. A man pleaded for his servant to be healed, and the mother of James and John interceded with Jesus on their behalf. You think about that. The sick, the lame, amen, the ones who were sick needed a touch of God, amen, and interceded on their behalf. Amen, praise God. Listen, what did the church do? The church in Jerusalem gathered together to pray for Peter's release from prison. What did the church do? They interceded for Peter. Amen, praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Also, the church in Antioch prayed for the success of the ministry of Barnabas and also of Paul. Amen, praise God. Isn't that wonderful to know? So we come to know we have several examples in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament church that we as the church can intercede. Amen, for others. Amen, praise be to God. According to the will of God. That was what I was thinking about in the Spirit. Interceding for us, the saints, according, amen, to the will of God. With groanings. Amen, praise God. Through the Spirit's intercession and travail. Within the believers uttered by the believers. Our spiritual desires and yearnings as believers, we find our source in the Spirit of God who dwells within us. It's the Spirit that sighs and groans and travails and longs for the day of our final redemption. Amen. It appeals to the Father on behalf of all of our needs because we ask according to the will of God. And we take that verse number 28 and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So, saints of God, we come to know that through the Spirit's intercession, amen, for us with groanings and utterance, amen, praise God, we know not what He shall pray for. Amen. There's a Greek meaning for because the Scripture teaches us that He helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but this Spirit itself maketh intercession. Amen. Meaning in Greek concerning the help. Amen. It's referred to it, amen, to the Spirit taking hold of our weaknesses and coming together with us, amen, instead of us as our intercessor. He, amen, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ Himself, amen, intercedes for us. It also empowers us to be victors rather than victims in our circumstances. But He also intercedes and intervenes on our behalf when we are helpless. He said, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So we know there's great promises in Scripture about the Spirit. I think at times when, amen, the saints of God take the oil and what the oil symbolizes. Amen, praise God. The oil representing the, amen, the Spirit. Amen, praise God. And once we anoint, amen, that person that's sick and that person that's suffering, maybe spiritually, whatever the need may be, we anoint them with an oil. Amen, referring to that symbolic way of anointing with oil. Amen, that's what He said there. Amen. Call for the elders of the church and know it all. Amen. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Amen. Glory to God. We need that Spirit, church. That Spirit is what touches. That Spirit is what heals. The Spirit of God is what comforts. Amen. When we're in turmoil, when we're in trouble, and we know not which way to turn, the Spirit intercedes. Amen. We pray and the Holy Ghost begins to witness through us. And we do not know what, amen, He is praying through us. There's been times when we were, amen, burdened for others. He said, be burdens for others. And have burdens, amen, that we shall carry for others. But when we are burdened down with care, and we're burdened for others in the church, the Spirit intercedes and prays through us. We know not what the Spirit may say. We do not know what the Spirit, amen, is speaking. But we do know it brings strength to that child of God who needs strength. It brings strength to the child of God. Amen. When the Spirit intercedes, amen, even for that need that you're praying for or for the need of others. Amen. Praise God. That powerful scripture there, He said concerning those, amen, that are called on, amen, those that are sick, if we pray over them, know it all, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If he's committed any sin, it shall be forgiven him. The next verse said, if you confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. Praise be to God. So we know there's power there in the scripture, church. Referred to us as the church, the body of believers. That's why it's important to take, amen, the seriousness of heart when we pray one another and for our needs and for our requests, that the God of all comfort can come for us and bring consolation to our hearts. He's there, amen, to, amen, to mend the broken wounds. He's there to lift us up above the shadows. He's there to comfort us in the times of struggle. He's there to help us. And when that Spirit moves within, and you're praying, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost just prays and makes His witness through your life. Amen. With groanings and utterings, which cannot be understood, but it's a channel of a conversation between you and God. And therefore, the Spirit knows how to pray when we don't know how to pray. That's what makes the difference. The Spirit prays through us when we don't seem to know how to pray. That's what makes all the difference. Amen. When you come down that you feel like you've taken your need and your requests and your petitions before God, and you feel like, amen, for some time that we know that God is long-suffering, and we know that we need to be patient, and we know that He's merciful, and we know He's kind to us, and He's a true God, He's a heavenly Father, we're believing Him, we're trusting in Him, we come to Him time and time again for the same request, for the same prayer, and it seemed like it did not happen, we don't understand why, and then we come to a service, and all of a sudden the Spirit begins to move upon your heart, and you begin to pray, and the Holy Ghost just takes over. Have you been there? Have you been to that place? When the Holy Ghost, amen, and that Spirit with groanings and with utterings. Because He said, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for. But the Spirit knows. The Spirit intercedes. Amen. There's been times, church, that I was troubled and down. And amen. And it seemed, amen, what in the world I'm going to do? And I get down upon my knees. And this is the importance of the Holy Ghost. When you feel like you don't have another prayer to pray. Amen. You feel like you're backed up against the wall. You feel like you're discouraged in the way. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost begins to move upon your heart. And all of a sudden, amen, those, amen, that Spirit that is within you, you know not what He's praying for, but it brings strength to your soul. Amen, glory to God, it brings strength to you through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's why it's needed, church. That's why it's needed. Praise God. Amen. With groanings for the Spirit's intercession and travail within the believer. It's uttered by the believer. Our spiritual desires and our yearnings for God, we find our source in the Spirit which dwells within. He sighs and He groans and He travails. And He longs to do that which is according to the will of God. That's why it's needful. That's why it's important. Amen. Because the Father, it appeals to our Father on behalf of our needs, according to the will of God. I go to that scripture in 1 John 5, 1 verse. He said, and we have this confidence in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, that He heareth us. Because He knows our petitions. He knows what's desired of us. We have took it before God. We laid it before an altar. Amen. We left it there for God to take it up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, what else can we do? Amen. That's why the Spirit of God makes all the difference. And that Spirit being present and that stirring within our soul and that burning desire within us. Amen. Praise God, because He helpeth our infirmities. He helpeth our oppressions. He helpeth us in our bodies. He helpeth us in our spiritual conditions and states. He knows all about, amen, the times we cry and we cry and we weep. As David had prayed, he said, amen, you hear my voice, be attentive unto my voice, because you know my prayer and you know my supplication. Amen. Hear me, God, when I pray. I'm casting my burdens upon the Lord. He's going to sustain me. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, because, amen, He's moved with compassion upon us when He sees we come to the end of the way. We are with sin and we don't know which way to turn. And all of a sudden the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost witness. It's the Holy Ghost groanings. It's the Holy Ghost utterings. Amen. Oh, we need that Spirit indwelling. We need the Spirit's witness. Glory to God. I'm thankful for that, church. Amen. We possess the Spirit. We receive the blessings. Amen. Oh, praise God. And these groanings. What is it for, preacher? Amen. Living in a sinful world, it grieves them. Still experience imperfection and pain and sorrow. The groaning expresses the deep sorrow felt at these circumstances. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. We groan and travail for the birthing of God's life and kingdom and fullness in the world and for complete redemption that will occur at Christ's second coming. Oh, we groan. We ourselves, we groan and we groan. Amen. Glory to God. Groaning in the Spirit. Amen. He said that the whole world, creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. But he said it's the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan with ourselves waiting for that adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, because we're saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Amen, saints of God, yes, we groan within ourselves because we see the deep sorrow of the world and what sin is doing and what our children are becoming and what our loved ones are becoming. It grieves our hearts. We groan within ourselves because we don't want to see them die in that condition. We don't want to see them drown in their sin. We groan because we desire for them to be birthed in the Spirit and to be saved and to be brought to the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're groaning because we await that soon coming of Jesus Christ. I'm glad to know that we have hope in the resurrection. Amen. That he that taketh part in the first resurrection unto eternal life. Amen. We know that those in the grave is going to hear his voice. And we know, amen, praise God, when there's going to be a sound of a trumpet. Oh, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and them which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we forever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. But listen, saints of God, the groanings we have within ourselves, and the Spirit's groanings that's within ourselves. Amen. We know not what the Spirit may pray through us, but we know what our groanings are. We groan over the grievous of sin. We groan in ourselves because of things that's happened around us. But listen, saints of God, the Spirit knows how to pray when you don't know how to pray. I want to get that across to you this morning. At times you don't understand why you may be repetitious in your praying. You seem to go back to the same things that you're praying. And I know we take our daily needs before God and we pray for the certain requests day in and day out. We know, but it's still there are times we feel like we are in repetitious praying. But we're not going to appear as the hypocrites were in their repetitious ways and praying to be, let men see them of their swelling prayers and swelling words. We're going to be one that's going to groan and groan within ourselves in the hidden closet of what Jesus said in that same chapter. Amen. For he that prayeth, enter to thy closet and shut thy door. And pray to thy heavenly Father in secret. That when thy heavenly Father shall see in secret, he shall reward thee openly. Amen. I don't know about you, but it goes back to the intercessory prayer of Daniel. See, they dwelled in sackcloth and ashes when they travailed before God. Amen. Daniel, that 21-day fast that Daniel went on. Amen. When he had prayed and he had sought God three times a day, and when he looked out the window towards Jerusalem, he knew what was going to befall them. Amen. It's going to be your, amen, the people of God through their wickedness and through their sinful desires and sinful ways and the things that Israel needed. He prayed for their restoration. Nehemiah prayed. Jeremiah prayed. Paul prayed in the prison. Amen. And God sent an earthquake and opened up the prison doors, but they had a song of praise unto God. Listen, saints of God, the Spirit. Spirit intercedes. You know, we call for requests and we desire to see people healed. We desire to see people saved. Amen. And I believe that the person needs to carry burdens for others, especially those that are lost. Amen. Praise God. That was the fulfillment of the mission that Christ was come to do. Amen. To seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. We're concerned by all means in our spiritual needs, but we lose lack of interest and really the purpose that we're even saved. Paul said, if I could just save some, if I could just lead one to the cross, in other words. Amen. Amen. This is one thing that many people, and I know it's easy to do for so many, because we want our spiritual needs met. But it's so easy for us to get centered around ourselves and what we need from God. You know, we take a piece of paper. Do you take a blank sheet before God, or do you fill it in and let Him read it? Read it off. No, God, this is what I need. I need this and I need that. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I need this and I need that. I believe when I come before God, I want Him, amen, I want to give Him a blank sheet and let Him fill it out and give it back to me. Amen. But I feel like there's a lot of Christians, amen, they take that sheet of paper and they fill it up and say, God, here it is. This is what I want. This is the way I want it. Amen. But listen, it's got to be God's will, God's way, God's time. And church, amen, glory to God, I want a blank sheet to give before my God. I want Him to fill it in. I want Him to fill it in what pleases Him and what He'd have me to do in the places that He shall lead me to be an example and a help to a lost and dying world. But we have lost our focus. Amen. He said, if the gospel be here, it is here to them that are lost. But we're to carry the gospel. We're to be a light upon a hill that cannot be here. We're to be the salt of the earth. Still, Christians focus and center around themselves. We're forgetting the very purpose for it all. Amen. In other words, I want the Spirit to pray through me on the behalf of someone else that's lost, that's deep in sin, that I can reach. God, you know the depth of sin. I don't know. Amen. You know the one. Amen. Praise God that they're closest to hell. Oh, God, let me be one that can pray and have a burden without a vision the people's going to perish. God, we need a vision of hell. We need a revelation. We need something to alarm our souls. Amen, God, that the people that you lay at our gate, can we find compassion? Can we be a good Samaritan? Can we mend the wounds? Can we help somebody and lead someone to the cross? I preached a message one time. Three crosses. Which one are you? Maybe I can preach it sometime. I don't know if you ever thought about it this way. We know there was three crosses on Calvary's Hill. That place of Golgotha, a place of a skull, which Christ was crucified. We know Christ was the middleman, and I'm glad to know He is that middleman today. That wall of partition. Amen. When the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, amen, when He was crucified and rose from the dead, we can enter into the place of holies just any time that we please. But what did you have on Calvary's Hill? You had three crosses. You had two thieves to be crucified when Christ was crucified. One cross was the cross of rejection. One cross was the cross of acceptance. And the other cross was the cross of redemption. Amen. I was thinking about three crosses, which are you? Amen. Are you on that cross of rejection? Or that cross of acceptance? Or that cross of redemption? My Lord God, that cross of redemption. That Jesus, the reason why He came. The reason why He suffered. The reason why He bled. The reason why He died. He came for all men to be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Well, think about it this way. The last couple of weeks that you've been praying, only you and God knows this. Really, how have you been praying the last couple of weeks? Have you been praying for a closer walk with God? Have you been praying for, amen, the gifts of the Spirit? You've been praying for more power, the witness in your life, or whatever it may be. Church, we've got to come down to this. We pray for our daily needs. Christ, give us that prayer. Amen. Amen. Give us our daily bread. Give us our daily necessities. The things that we really need to live. But until we get down and pray for others, Jesus said, pray ye one for another. All until, amen. What did your prayer consist of? More about yourself or about more about somebody else? I want you to think about that for just a minute. Do we pray 15 minutes for ourselves and pray 5 minutes for others? Or 2 minutes for... You think about what I'm saying. Amen. Praise God. Some people may say, well, it takes 15 minutes to get myself in the place that I can pray 20 minutes for someone else. I don't know what it may be. But I do know this. Until we get an insight, until we get a burden, until we get a vision, until we get help through the Spirit of God, we need to be interceding for somebody. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody that's sick. Somebody who really needs prayer. We all need prayer, but there's somebody needs it a lot more than what we do this morning. There's somebody in the balance. Somebody fixing to drop off into hell. Somebody about to commit suicide. Somebody's going to kill somebody. Somebody's going to the institution, mental institution. Somebody's going to the hospital. Somebody's in ICU. Somebody's at the point of death. Somebody needs prayer. But what is that prayer going to become? God, help me to know. Is it going to be Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. That's where it comes in, church. God, help me to be concerned for others, to pray. Amen. Glory to God. The best thing a person can do is make a prayer list where you won't forget. Take a list of the names. Well, it's just like it's right here. Paper. Got one I stuck in my Bible here. See the prayer request she has on the back? Now, if you took, you think about this. If you took the time to pray for each and every one of these names on this list, how long would it take you to pray for these? I mean, that's a lot of people to pray for. You know what I'm just saying, using this for an example. God help us. Amen. To pray. God help us to be concerned that the Spirit with groanings and utterings that may not be understood, Lord. But Lord, you know it's the Spirit is speaking. Amen. The Spirit is speaking. The Spirit is praying. The Spirit is praying. Oh, but let it be groanings with utterings. I want the Holy Ghost to pray. I want Him to have, amen, free course in my life. I want it to be a witness. I want it to be a stirring. I want it to be a spiritual awakening. Whatever it is, God, let the Spirit grow. When they dwell in sackcloth and ashes through their 21-day fast with Daniel, amen, they rent their clothes. They laid in sackcloth and ashes. They travailed before God. Amen. I've heard Brother Kinlaw, amen, preaching. Heard him mention at times when people that pray and sought God, amen, they have took and pulled their hair, pulled clocks of hair out of their head. Just in groanings in the flesh and I mean, just rent themselves before God in the altar. Just, amen, making them presentable before God. Amen. Take their fist up to a God of heaven and say, God, hear me when I pray. Amen. And they just cry out with groanings. Amen. The men cannot understand. Amen. They rent their clothes. Amen. David fasted. He laid himself on the earth for 7 days. And granted before God to save his son from death, but it didn't happen. And there it goes. There we are. We have prayed, we fasted, we thought it was going to be, but it never took place. It never happened. Did what? I preached a message one time. I don't want to refer to that because when I preach, a lot of messages flash back in my mind. It sort of flashed back. But David, when he had prayed, amen, he fasted. He laid himself on the earth for 7 days. Why didn't God heal that child? From a man who was king of Israel. From a man who sought God in worship with a harp, and praise. Even though, amen, he was coming down from his throne. Amen. He become a failure to God's people. Amen. Through his sin and the way, amen, that he had lived during that period of time. But if you remember, that child that he prayed for was a child that was born with no name. Every child it was ever born in Scripture was given the name except that one right there. That's the only one that you'll read in Scripture that was born without a name. And that was that first child by Bathsheba. See, God knew he was going to take the child. David interceded. He interceded. He thought God. Amen. But did it happen? It didn't take place. But did David blame God for the child dying? He didn't blame him. Like Job, he didn't charge God foolishly. Child can't come to back to me, but I have the hope like going to him. In other words, amen, he had the right way about it. Saints of God, a lot of times we don't understand that. But amen, amen, I preached a message one child, a child with no name. A child that was born, the joy of having children. Amen. But that child was not given a name. And every name is scripture through the genealogy of Christ from the time, amen, when, amen, from Adam. Through that genealogy and through all the generations past and through all the names, it was significant meanings for every name that was ever given to everyone that was born in Holy Scripture. Study it. Whether it be the tribe of Dan. Amen. Glory to God. Whether it be Seth. Amen. Whether it be Ham or Japheth. Or whether it be, amen, Mephibosheth. And so on and so forth. Every child with a name, that those names had significant meanings. And purpose to design, amen, for God, because He placed them there. It was born during the times of the biblical times. Amen. It was born. They was given a name. Amen. God had purpose for all that was born under the sun. God has a purpose for everyone here this morning. And I don't know how the
what you're bringing. I don't know what your needs have become, but I'll tell you this. He was born and he was given a name, and God knows you by your name, and he knows your heart, and he knows everything about you. But when you get down to pray and you know not how to pray, just let the Spirit have his free course in your life and let the Spirit pray.
I've heard preachers say this: the Holy Ghost don't witness in your life every day, there's something wrong in your experience with God. I don't go that far in saying that. If a man walks in the Spirit will bear witness every day of his life. If he's really walking in the Spirit, giving his heart, totally heart to God. But see, everyone here this morning has a little ounce of unbelief. It's always clouding your mind every day of your life. But a man that has fully surrendered his work to God, like the Apostle Paul, giving an example, like some of these great authors we read about, like Charles Spurgeon and Amen and Wesley and all the men of old who have totally given themselves over to the ministry, like D.L. Moody, and men of God who walked miles and traveled on horseback to deliver the gospel because the gospel was their very life. That was their life. They had no wife, they had no children. Amen. Some did, some didn't, but Paul chose not to, and he had totally given himself over to the work of Jesus Christ. But we're walking and trying to walk by faith, but there's always that little ounce of unbelief that's going to cloud your mind when you have prayed and God didn't answer. What you're going to do? It's like this. You know, you try to have faith in God, but in what you hear people say, but in the back of your mind, that's that ounce of unbelief. You hear people say that. Oh, I'm believing God for this, and I'm believing God's going to get this job for me, and I'm believing this. But in the back of your mind, you've heard that? You've given away to over to some kind of unbelief. Is it really going to happen? I'm 95% sure it's going to, but there's something just don't feel right. Or something that may not look right. Or something that's not fully persuaded you to believe in what God's going to do for us. Amen. The reason that unbelief is there is because you have an adversary that's warned your mind every day of your life. And he's out to oppress you, to steal, to kill, and destroy you, and do everything he can to hinder the work of God. Say, preacher, can it be reached? It can be reached. But there's something about it. The fivefold ministry of what God has called men to do, and the purpose of the minister, what's going forth in the land today, and what people are doing to preach the gospel, to reach souls for Christ, behind the curtain. There's travailings, there's groanings, there's utterings. Amen, praise God. And there's even unbelief that men have to entangle themselves in and war against. You'll never see it behind the pulpit. You'll never see it in the way of seeing upon them and looking upon their ministries. But behind the curtain, behind the door, they're groaning and saying, God, why do not you hear me when I pray? Where are you, God? Elijah come to that despondent state. Amen, when he desired to die. Jonah come to that despondent state that he desired to die. You tell me why. Jonah had a message to deliver. Elijah was a man who stood in the gap. Amen, glory to God. Who had a purpose for the design of God, what God had led him and called him to do. Amen. But that Satan was after him, that Jezebel spirit. Amen. Just within a day's period, he was down in the cave saying, oh, just let me die. That lets me know that we're human and we have our human weaknesses. Enemy comes in like a flood. What can we do to stand? Oh, that's when we need to pray, when we don't know how to pray, church. Amen. Let the Spirit pray through us. Let there be such a witness in our life. Let us go forth in victory. Let us go forth in praise. You know, I don't want to be that way in the back of my mind. I want to be fully persuaded, don't you? I want to fully trust God. Whatever I pray for. The reason why it's so easy, we come down to the altar, we have a request, we take it to God in prayer, and just sure as we walk out that door, we go back to the altar, we pick it up, stick it in our pocket. Because something's in the back of our mind. Trust God fully to leave it there. God's saying, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. One of the hardest things we can do. Take it upon ourselves. We take it upon our shoulders. We try to bear it alone. Moses tried to do that. He tried to bear that burden alone. But his father-in-law said, Jethro, his father-in-law, you need to let me help you. It's more than you can bear. It's more than you can carry. Give instruction on what to do. Saints of God, I don't know about you, and I didn't know how I was going to preach this message. Most every time I preach, that's the way it is. You never know what one message can bring forth and what God would desire for us to hear. But I say this, be encouraged. If we ask anything according to the will of God, that He hear us. Hear it itself with groanings and utterance that cannot be understood, that the Spirit prayeth what is understood to the Father. We know that Christ is on the right hand of God interceding it on our behalf. That great intercessor. He's there today. How many believes in those great intercessory prayers that was given by the examples of great kings and great prophets of old under the Old and New Testaments? Travail in prayer. Press on. Amen. God has a purpose. God has a plan, knowing that all things shall work together for good. For them. Mind going back to another message I preached from that Romans 8:28. That verse right there, people have quoted for years. I've heard it all my life, and we know that all things will work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose. How many believe that this morning? He has a great purpose for your life. Amen. The ones that will, let's gather around, let's pray about this message. I don't know what you may be facing, I don't know what you're going through. But I know one that knows. He knows our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. He knows how we feel. He knows where we have been. He knows what we stand in need of today. And I know He can help us.